Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of High Velocity Radio. And these are my favorite. These are the Thought Leader Radio episodes where we talk to the best and brightest doing the most innovative things. And this guest is no exception. Welcome, Dr. Arnon Krongrad, and he is with Alevion. How are you, sir?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Arnon, can you tell us about Alevion? How are you serving folks?
Yeah, so Alevion is devoted to the notion that every patient deserves quality, convenience, and choice. That devotion, that mission, leaves us with an enormous problem because access to the healthcare system is so complicated by opacity. You can't tell what anything's going to cost. You don't know who the good surgeons are. It's impossible to compare them. You don't know what your choices are. And then, of course, the bureaucracy of using your insurance. So we've got a long road and a lot of work to do.
So now this company kind of bubbled up because of your frustration with the existing healthcare system?
Yeah, my frustration as well as my patients' frustration. You know, I was seeing a lot of surgical patients, patients with cancer who were having a very hard time getting in for the surgery that they needed. And so, yes, it all originated from practical experiences under my practice. Yep.
And so now in the way you do things, how is it different now?
Well, what we've developed is a logistical process to help put together comprehensive surgery packages. These are flat fee packages. And what that means is we contract all the downstream providers, facilities, surgeons, anesthesiologists, for starters, in a way that blends the rates, which means that if you need an ancillary procedure, it's included. Let me give you an example. Suppose you're going in for weight loss surgery, a procedure called sleeve gastrectomy. In ordinary circumstances, the surgeon may find new stuff to fix when he's in there. For example, he may find that you've got what's called a hiatus hernia. He would fix it because it's the right thing to do, but in the conventional model, you'd get an extra bill for it. That's a surprise. That's the sort of thing patients really dislike. And so what we do is we eliminate the potential for that surprise by blending the rates so you know exactly what you're getting into.
So now, but from the patient standpoint, they go in, so they go through their normal process, they see their doctor, they go, okay, we recommend this surgery. And then at that point, they disengage from the existing process and then work with your firm?
Well, they can. It's one of their options. And so what we did initially is we developed these packages for patients who didn't have insurance, and so they weren't really constrained by your ordinary financial networks. And we served them first. However, we became so efficient at producing these packages that insurance companies also started to buy them from us. And so what happened was we actually integrated our approach in these packages directly into insurance networks, you know, for example, Blue Cross Network. So if you have Blue Cross, you'd actually take advantage of this system within your network also.
So that just becomes another choice for the Blue Cross.
It's a simpler, more convenient. Yes, correct.
Now, how do the hospitals and the other facilities think about your program?
Well, they love it because for them, what it generally means is increased visibility and more business. So they're happy about it.
So I'm finding it hard to believe that all of the constituents are happy about this development. It sounds good from the patient standpoint, but this is a huge bureaucracy that has a lot of love of the status quo. So this sounds disruptive.
Well, I'm not sure that's true. We do have a status quo, and it's built on a legacy system of inefficiency and bureaucracy. I completely agree with that. However, I'm not sure that everybody's happy. I talk with surgeons, hospital administrators, insurance executives. I'm not feeling happiness from any of them. And in fact, what our model does is it reoptimizes the logistics, the back end, so things just fit together better. And it actually frees a lot of the participants, maybe all the participants, from what I would characterize as a zero-sum game where they're locked into adversarial relationships. I don't think happiness is a notion that exists anywhere really within the healthcare system.
Right, but there's frustration by each of the participants for different reasons. And then anything that's a disruption usually I find cause friction. So you're disrupting a process by making it more efficient, which I'm a huge fan of, and it more transparent, which I'm an even bigger fan of. Like, I agree completely with your assessment that, I mean, the medical practice is the only thing you go into for a large purchase like this, not having any idea what the cost is going to be when you leave. Like, it could be any, they can put any number and you're like, I guess that's how much it is. Like, you have no idea what you're getting into.
And that's only half your problem. If maybe only a third of your problem, because the other half is, what's the quality? Now, for some things, the quality doesn't really vary very much. For example, for a blood count, which is an automated sort of commodity laboratory test, I don't think you're going to see a really big difference between laboratory A and laboratory B in terms of determining that your hematocrit is 35%. Okay, that's a commodity. However, when we're talking about surgery, for example, knee replacement, quality really matters because it is not a commodity. And the reason it isn't is because surgeon quality varies so much, right? There's artistry in surgery. And so in addition to having to figure out what your cost is going to be and making trade-offs for costs, you have the parallel bookend, if you will, of having to figure out what the quality is. And here we have an equally big problem. There's opacity both in terms of cost and quality. So even if I give you the cost and it's crystal clear and you know exactly what you're dealing with, you're still left having to figure out whether or not the savings you got are something you even want if you're compromising the quality on your knee replacement. Right. So it's a double whammy.
So how do you kind of create the transparency and quality? Do you have a leaderboard?
I don't know what you mean by a leaderboard.
Well, how do I know who the best knee replacement doctor is? Is there a ranking of the top 100 knee replacement? Like, this guy's got a good Yelp review. He's 5-star and then somebody else is 1-star. How do you even begin to
So you've touched on one of the big problems in determining quality when it comes to surgeons, right? So the sort of user generated quality ratings of the kind that you just cited, and there are many others, are in fact nothing to do with quality. For example, there's a very commonly used star rating that you'll see online, which asks patients things like how long did you wait in the waiting room, how much parking was there. That's not about surgical quality. That's about member experience. And while I'm all for convenience and happiness, in the experience, I think we have to remember very clearly that those don't have anything to do with things like blood loss, infection rate, rectal lacerations, tissue handling. That's surgical quality. Now, unlike in virtually all of their experiences that patients have, they cannot actually experience the surgery for one simple reason, and that's that they're asleep for it. Not to mention the fact that they're not subject experts. So the question then becomes, how do we unpollute the public discourse in regards to surgical quality from what has become, in essence, a substitute for what is true surgical quality of the kind that you and I just discussed? The answer is we have to focus on the things that actually are valid measures of quality, and there are ways to get to that. We haven't begun to scratch the surface, but there are actually ways to move ahead. What we've done is we've adopted and begun to apply a peer-validated method for measuring surgeon quality. We have some indirect validation that our system really works because we actually build complications protection directly into our packages. So in addition to the blended rates I mentioned earlier, we also provide a collision insurance, if you will, as part of our package. And we haven't had any claims, so no complications. Complication is not the be-all, end-all measurement of surgeon quality, but it's at least one potentially valid surrogate of that.
But part of the measure of quality is other physicians' opinion or assessment of it?
But not of how popular you are, not how you are at golf or dinner or the paper that you presented at a meeting, not those things, but actually your surgical technique. So I don't know if you've ever read a book called Blink by Malcolm Gladwell, where he talks about subject experts being able to determine artistry in ways that subject non-experts cannot. He talks about tennis coaches, for example, and antique people who evaluate sculptures, antique sculptures, and those sorts of things. They can see things and nuances that an ordinary person could not. The same rule applies to surgery.
But what prevents them being kind of jaded by the politics of, oh, that guy might hire me, or I need him to be part of my practice?
Well, because there are ways to eliminate the identity of the surgeon from that evaluation.
And they can just see the result, and from a glance, they can determine whether the person did a good job or not?
Yes, and there are actually data to show that those sorts of evaluations do correlate with prospectively measured patient outcomes. It's probably the best method. It's not easy. It's laborious, but it works.
And then, so that's built into your system or some version of that?
Yep.
Now, are the doctors okay with being judged in that manner?
All of them. And I'll tell you what else. If you come across a surgeon who doesn't want to be evaluated on his quality, I might suggest to you that you'd want to avoid that surgeon.
Right. So just being open to the fact that they are going to be judged, that kind of puts them at least a level of confidence that they're competent enough to be judged.
Yes. Yes. Confidence, yes. Now, look, it's cute the way you said it, but, you know, confidence and competence are not the same idea. There are lots of people who are very, very confident and completely incompetent. So you still have to go through the whole process and do the evaluation. Not enough that they volunteered.
Right. But the fact that they would volunteer shows you that they must think they have a level of competence or else they wouldn't have volunteered.
Well, but that's true of 90% of surgeons.
Okay. So that's table stakes, is that level of confidence.
Yeah. I mean, all surgeons think they're really good and above average and everything else, but you don't want 90% of surgeons operating you. You want the top 10% operating on you.
So how long have you been doing this manner?
Well, various aspects of the process for about 15 years.
So 15 years. How did it get started? Like, what was did you have to make a major break with where you were working in order to kind of go all in this, or were you able to gradually kind of implement some of these kind of thinking?
Well, this began under my practice. So the big bang moment, if you will, happened when a patient called me from Oregon who needed prostate cancer surgery. He couldn't get it because the local hospital wanted a lot more money than he had. They wanted $55,000, and he had $24,000. He had just lost his job and his insurance, so he had a double problem. He had a potentially fatal cancer, and he lost his financial income, his income stream. Anyway, I was in Miami. He asked me to help him. It turned out that we really couldn't help him in Miami because nobody wanted to cooperate here at the time. That changed later, but at that moment, nobody cooperated. We actually wound up solving his problem kind of on the spur of the moment, if you will. We put a package together that involved taking him from Oregon, our team from Miami, some equipment that we purchased, spot purchased specifically for that case, to an operating room in Trinidad. And then from there it kind of grew. We went to Kansas next. We found people to work with us in Florida next, and off we went.
So then your physicians are all over the country or all over the globe?
Well, principally in the United States, yes.
And how does this compare to, like you mentioned, leaving the country to get some of this work done?
What do you mean, how does it compare? In what sense?
Like, this system is your own system, but a lot of people are, because of the price at least, they are going to, they're leaving America to get the treatments that they need done in other countries.
Well, I don't know if it's a lot because I'm not sure I've seen numbers that I can believe. But be that as it may, there's plenty of efficiency we can generate right here at home. And so we've, in fact, been able to generate the same level of efficiency and value here as we have been abroad. And that's the beauty of the system, and that's why everybody wins because of it.
So walk me through how it would work for me. So if I had a surgery and I wanted to kind of pick you guys instead of what I have now, how would the process look?
You'd go to our online market. It's called Surgeo, S-U-R-G-E-O, like surgeon without an N, so surgeo.com. Select the procedure that you need and compare the choices by surgeon, price, and location. All the choices you'll see are uniformly defined so that if the package is defined to include anesthesia in Santa Fe, then it includes anesthesia in Albuquerque. Right? So it makes the shopping experience apples to apples and therefore very simple. And then once you decide, you fill out a consult form and we help you from there.
So now, do I ask my doctor that I have here? They have to give me the information that I need for the next step so then I can compare it on Surgeo.com?
Well, I'm not sure what information your doctor needs to give you. I mean, I'm assuming that at this stage in the process, you already know your diagnosis and that you already know the treatment.
Okay, so then the doctor tells me, okay, you need knee replacement surgery. So knee replacement surgery is enough information for me to now shop on Sergio.com.
It is. It is. Now, keep in mind that once we get your consultation, we review everything with the surgeon. And so there's some more back and forth just to make sure it's the right fit.
So then you take the, so now I have to get the information that my doctor has and get it to your team.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And then, so when you look at what my doctor gave you, then you can assess whether maybe even it's not necessary or there's other treatments or there's other more complications could occur. Like you'll be able to give me a better view of what's going on because you're now seeing all the information.
That's correct.
And then from
that's
that,
correct.
And yep. Then at that point, it might be like that. You might say, okay, you have to come to Miami to get this done.
Well, you know, you're going to tell us because we're going to give you choices.
Like, right? What are some choices that I would be given?
Well, your choice might be Miami or they might be Los Angeles. I mean, we have a market of uniformly defined packages, and you say what's good for you.
Okay, so then now I have choices. And is there a chance there might be somebody here in Atlanta, or that's the right now the choices would be Miami or Los Angeles?
Well, it depends on the procedure. What we seek, our first step in developing these packages is to identify highly qualified surgeons. So if there are no highly qualified surgeons in Atlanta, you're not going to see a choice there.
Right. So you're vetting the surgeon and you're making sure that they're kind of philosophically aligned and they're going to do things, you know, kind of with your principles and your methodology in terms of how they're going to charge.
Well, we don't tell them what to charge, right? They decide that for themselves. So the first step in developing the package is to get the right surgeon and then to contract with him as well as the associated providers like anesthesia, for example, add up the costs, and then present that to you as the flat fee.
Right. So, but I'm just getting the flat fee. I'm not going, you're doing the, getting all the pricing, right?
We're doing the qualification and the contracting, correct?
Right. So you're
so think of it this way: it's like when you go to Mercedes to buy a car. Okay, there's a sticker on the window that says this is the price of the car. You don't have to go out and shop for the mufflers and windshield wipers. They've already sourced those and stuck them in.
Right, but you're my contact. You're my point of contact, not the person, the surgeon.
Initially, yes. I mean, we hand you off at one point, but yes.
And then at the end, if there is complication or anything, I have to go back to Los Angeles or now I'm dealing with the surgeon. The handoff happens.
Well,
right?
Not necessarily, because let's suppose for argument's sake that you had a blood clot, okay, deep vein thrombosis, you know, after your surgery. You may be 100 miles away. You may be 500 miles away. You don't necessarily need to go back to the surgeon to have that managed.
But at that point, now I'm back into my primary care doctor or whoever made the initial kind of diagnosis?
There may or may not be a primary care doctor. You may be in the emergency room. You may be anywhere. But you're still covered.
Okay. And so what do you need more of at this point? Do you need more doctors? Do you need more people to know about this? What do you need in your growth right now?
Everything. I mean, you know, we love what we're doing. We certainly want more surgeons to be working with us. They love the system. It simplifies their lives too in many ways. And of course, I mean, we're here to help anybody who finds value in this sort of thing. And that would include patients who need surgery. It also would include employers who are struggling with all kinds of issues and insurance companies who likewise find that they don't really know how to increase the efficiency of their own networks.
And then how are you going about the marketing to get in front of all those people to let them know that this even is a choice?
Various channels. I mean, there's online, there's direct. I mean, it's an entire campaign.
So you're working, but each of those constituents, you're working to educate.
Yes.
And then what's the most rewarding part for you?
The idea that when my kids grow up, they're going to have simple access to quality care. I don't think that the legacy systems can solve the mess of healthcare delivery in this country on their own. I don't think the government can do it on its own. was it Einstein who said, craziness is believing you can get a different result by doing the same old thing? No, I think we need fresh ideas and fresh blood. And I see progress here. I see people who understand the efficiency and who welcome it and embrace it. And so, again, to me, the most rewarding thing is the idea that that the future will be a lot easier than the present.
Do you find that the healthcare in other countries, that it seems that there's a lot of, healthcare envy in some respects? The pros and cons of the way when you have a single payer or the government is in charge of it, does having a more kind of capitalistic where the where it's not the government run, but it's run by kind of the providers. Do you think that that's a better path, or it's some combination of all this? How do you think it's going to end?
So, first of all, I'm not a healthcare economist, and I'm probably not I'm not an authority on comparing, different healthcare finance models. But it's interesting you said provider run. The last thing America has is provider run. We don't have provider run healthcare.
Right, but do you think that that provider run is closer to the solution?
Well, based on what I see, for example, direct primary care where there are no third parties and no insurance companies involved, feels really good to me based on the little bit that I know. I think when it comes to surgery, surgeons have an enormous amount to contribute, and they have essentially been shut out of the healthcare reform conversation, at least at the public level. And by reform, I think we need to be honest with ourselves. We're not talking about healthcare reform. We're talking about financial reforms, which don't actually deal with healthcare per se. So, to the extent that I can say anything, and I'm really, again, I want to stress, I'm not an expert on healthcare financing. You cited capitalistic. The United States doesn't have a free market. It is not capitalistic when it comes to healthcare. Everything is regulated. I can drive my car, from Kansas City, Kansas to Kansas City, Missouri, but I can't use my medical license if I live in Kansas City, Kansas, to take care of a patient in Kansas City, Missouri. We're completely hamstrung by regulations. It is not capitalistic.
I don't want to belabor the point, but there's a lot of work to be done. This seems like an innovative way to kind of play within the rules, the framework we have right now, but it's changing so rapidly. So hopefully there will be a simpler system that is going to be as effective. And I don't want us as a country to get rid of some of the incentives that enable people to do innovative things. And a lot of times when you have these kind of one size fits all systems, you lose a lot of the innovation. If somebody wanted to learn more, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Just go to Sergio, sergio.com.
Sergio.com. Thank you very much, Dr. Arnon Krongrad, for sharing your story today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Thought Leader Radio.